Good morning. Let's be going to 2 Samuel chapter 4, please. 2 Samuel chapter 4. Well, it is 2021 and the pandemic is still with us. We thought that it would be over by May, and yet here it is January and still it's raging. How does God deal with the sick? How does God deal with the outcast? How does God deal with the lame? This morning, I would like to consider the nature of our God as we consider how he handles those who are sick and who are wounded and who are ill. And we're going to do that this morning by considering the story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. That is not a weird food. That is not a weird place. That is the name of a person in the Old Testament, Mephibosheth. Surprisingly, Jessica and I did not consider that for Adam or Camden. Mephibosheth. Who is Mephibosheth? 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. When Ishbosheth, there's another name, Saul's son. So let's just get context here. Saul was the first king of Israel. Saul had begun his reign as a righteous man, and yet through his pride fell into sin and ends his reign in terror. God says, Saul, I have rejected you from being king, so I'm going to appoint another king. He appoints King David. In the transition from Saul to David, things don't go smoothly. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, is going to rise up and try to rebel. Those were our major players. Verse 1 again. When Ishbosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner had died at Hebron, his courage fell and all Israel was dismayed. Now Saul's son had two men who were captains of raiding bands. The name of the one was Baana, the name of the other Rechab, sons of Reuben, a man of Benjamin from Beeroth, for Beeroth is counted part of Benjamin. The Beerothites fled to Gittim and have been sojourners there this day. Notice verse 4. Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And as she fled in her haste, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Notice the story again. This is important. Verse 4. Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son who was crippled in his feet. So here's the narrative. In the change between King Saul to King David, Saul's son Ishbosheth is trying to gain power for himself. Saul, however, had another son named Jonathan. Jonathan was a good man. Jonathan was a righteous man. He was the best of friends with King David. Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth, who was 5 years old. And when he was 5 years old, news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel that they had been killed. And his nurse took him up and fled. And she fled in her haste and he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. So here's what happens. The 5-year-old grandson of Saul, Jonathan's son, is on the run thinking that David is going to come in and kill him. The story of antiquity and the change of regimes is whenever one kingdom falls, the next king arises and massacres all of the descendants before this. You see this one time in the history of Judah with Athaliah. Queen Athaliah arises, you'll remember the narrative. Queen Athaliah arises and then she massacres all who were of the family before her. That was common. That was common. So what's going through the minds of Ishbosheth and Mephibosheth and his nurse? Or all of them are going to be massacred. So the nurse, in haste, runs, drops Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth then becomes crippled for the rest of his days. Feel the tiny Tim in this story. You have a 5-year-old boy who is crippled. His father's gone. His grandfather's gone. And another king has arisen who, according to his nurse, may massacre them. Poor tiny Tim, right? How is David going to respond to Mephibosheth? Go a few chapters over to chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. I'm going to read the whole chapter here. It's fairly short. Verse 1. And David said, "Is there anyone left at the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Just stop there and think through the irony of this. King David has arisen to the throne, is the most powerful ruler in the history of Israel. And now that he has consolidated his power, he's overcome the Philistines, he's overcome all of Saul's remaining friends, David has ascended to the throne. Now David is wanting to show kindness to one of Jonathan's sons. The reason for this, if you go back, I'm not going to take the time to do this. If you look back to 1 Samuel chapter 20, that's 1st, not 2nd, 1 Samuel chapter 20, David and Jonathan had formed a covenant with one another. Essentially, Jonathan had pledged his allegiance to David and had said, "I will be kind to you." David had pledged back, "I will be kind to you and to your kindred." David and Jonathan had entered into a covenant with one another. Even whenever Jonathan's father Saul was trying to kill David, David and Jonathan were the best of friends. David is a man of his word. David is faithful. David is not letting the power, he's not letting the transition, he is not letting the political advantage go to his head. He is being faithful to the covenant that he established with Jonathan. And so he's seeking to show kindness to one of the children of Jonathan. Verse 2. Now there was a servant of the house of Saul, whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. The king said, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "I am your servant." The king said, "Is there not someone of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to him, the kindness of God?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodbidar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, at Lodbidar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth." He said, "Behold, I am your servant." David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you the kindness for the sake of your father, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "Where is your servant that I should so regard? What is this servant that you should so regard for such a dead dog as me?" Then the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and all that was in his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring him in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king's commands, according to his servants, so shall your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, and he always ate at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. Notice a few details of this narrative with me. The key word of this story is kindness. It tells us in verse 1, David says, "Is there anyone left to the house of Saul that I may show kindness to Jonathan's sake?" Verse 3. To Ziba, David says, "Is there not someone at the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" And finally, verse 7. Whenever Mephibosheth comes to him, David says, "Do not fear, for I will show you the kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you the land of your father, and you shall eat always at my table." Do you notice how bizarre and unusual David is? I'm not going to talk in great detail about the political events of this last week. Y'all know my opinion on that from Wednesday night. But here you have not only a complete new power that has arisen, but he now is seeking to bless the heirs of the previous regime. Think about that for a second. I mean, America has not always had smooth transitions of power. Whenever Thomas Jefferson won over John Adams, Adams was furious. Furious. They didn't speak for near 20 years after this. Imagine Jefferson not just accepting this win, but then seeking to bless the family of Adams. Imagine Obama arising and blessing the family of Bush. Imagine Trump arising and blessing the family of Obama. Imagine Biden arising and blessing the family of Trump. Our kingdoms just don't understand this. Republican, Democrat doesn't matter in this case. You just don't do that. Here you have David, who has arisen to power, and he is now seeking to bless the family of Saul, the man who had tried to kill him for years. David is seeking to bless the family of his enemies. But then you think who he's blessing. Verse 3. The king said to Ziba, "Is there not someone at the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to him, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The detail is repeated over in verse 8. And he paid homage and said, this is Mephibosheth speaking, "What is your servant that you should so regard for such a dead dog as I?" Mephibosheth is not just a part of the enemy's family, but he's crippled. He's crippled. He's outcast. Good for nothing. And yet, in the eyes of the king, in the eyes of King David, David is going to show the greatest of kindness and the riches of grace to a crippled child. But then notice what David does. David says in verse 7, David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you the kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." Notice verse 11. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king's commands, according to his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Not only is David blessing Mephibosheth, a crippled son of the enemy, with all of the riches that he can according to the covenant, but then he is inviting him in to eat at his table with his own family, so that Mephibosheth, a lame child of the enemy's family, will be treated like one of David's own children. He gets to dine next to Solomon. This is the nature of King David. A king who arises to power and blesses a crippled son of the enemy with food and inheritance and a place at his table forever, so that then he is considered even one of the king's sons. Does that story sound familiar? Go to Matthew chapter 4 with me, please. Matthew chapter 4. We read this verse in our class on Wednesday night. Verse 23. "And Jesus went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed with demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them." What does Jesus do? Jesus, unlike the kings of this world, does not stamp out the crippled. Jesus, unlike the rulers of this age, does not exclude the sick. Jesus, unlike the powers of this world order, does not stomp on the outcast. He goes to them and he heals them and he blesses them so that even the sick are brought to him. Jesus will comment on this phenomenon over in Matthew chapter 9. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Matthew 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booths, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. As Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciple, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Notice the nature of our King. Notice the nature of Jesus. Jesus has come as King to reclaim the throne. For thousands of years, the devil, the serpent, the deceiver, as Bruce O'Abley called him, had ruled as the prince of the power of the air. The serpent had seemed like the ruler of this age, deceiving and accusing and slandering and tempting, and all since Adam and Eve onward had given into these powers. So what happened? Paul says in Romans 7, sin spread and death spread. Sin, the true pandemic. Sin, the true sickness, spread. And it crippled. And it wounded. And it hurt. And it made sick. Jesus has come to reclaim the throne. And he enters a world where his citizens are sick and crippled. And if we're honest with ourselves, allegiant to the enemy. What has the King done with us? We who had aligned ourselves to sin were helpless. In Romans 5, enemies of God. We were sick. We were lame. We were crippled with sin. What did the King do? The Pharisees saw him and they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." In David, we see a king rise to power who invites a crippled son of his enemy to eat at his table and enjoy blessing forever. In Jesus, we see the kindness of God revealed in the King. A king who invites his enemies to become his brothers and sit at God's table and enjoy eternal blessing with him forever. Amen. That is the unusual, the otherworldly, the unexpected nature of the King. I am Mephibosheth. You are Mephibosheth. We are Mephibosheth. Jesus is David. Matthew even calls him the son of David. One who showed the kindness of God even to the lame children of his enemies. The question that we then get to ask is, will we go to the table? Will we go to the table? You can be preparing for the invitation at this time. There's details that the narrative doesn't tell us. But I wonder how Ziba responded whenever he received the invitation from King David. How did Ziba respond to that? I don't know. But I would venture to say it was with a great deal of fear and intrepidation. Because the mighty King David had called to speak with him. And how did Mephibosheth go? Mephibosheth, when he's called to the presence of the king, bows himself before the king and says, "Great king, who are you to be mindful of such a dead dog as I?" When I think of the ever-loving kindness of God, and when I think of the rich mercy and the righteousness that he has demonstrated in Jesus, who am I that God has been mindful of me? Who am I that the king has healed me? Who am I that the king has adopted me? Who am I that the king has brought me to his table? If we in faith align ourselves not to the rulers of this age and not to the devil, but rather to Jesus, we will be blessed in that kingdom. If anyone needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, come forward as we stand and sing.